Customers are rushing to your store. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify has everything you need to sell in person. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into the one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers in line and online. Shopify helps you drive store traffic with plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns from TikTok to Instagram and beyond. Get hardware that fits your business. Take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/theathletic, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/theathletic to take your retail business to the next level today. shopify.com/theathletic.
If everything goes off of Eastern Pacific, you might be second. That's fair. But Eastern's first.
I agree.
Then Central, then Mountain, right? Mountain Time's fake, as far
Mountain
as I'm
Mountain Time
concerned.
Is absurd.
Get Mountain's not a thing. Mountain Time. We don't count that. Yeah, it's like one town has it. That's it. Hello, good day, good morning, good afternoon, good night, wherever you are. This is What Did I Miss? I am joined today, by the way, my name's Michelle, and that is Paige, and that is Gabe. And we are about to talk sports. We were going to lead today's show with F1. Obviously, it is mid to end July. That's really what we wanted to talk about. But then the Arizona Cardinals, somebody is in a lot of trouble, leaked an addendum. How come I can't say that word? Addendum. Nailed it. They leaked it, and it's humiliating and embarrassing for everyone actually involved. Kyler Murray, as you probably have heard by now, basically has been mandated to study and to do his job. And actually, it was put in writing. Now, where it gets weird is that it's 4 hours a week. It's now in writing in his contract, which is basically giving them an out should, you know, stuff hit the fan down the road. But it's just a bizarro world moment because nobody looks good in this. He doesn't look good. The team doesn't look good. His agent doesn't look good. Somebody leaked it. They leaked it, I think, directly to Ian Rappaport, who basically copied, pasted the whole thing. So we've seen the actual legal writing in the document. And then now we're all sort of processing it and digesting it. And I've heard all kinds of people talking about it, like talking heads, former athletes. The fact that he's a quarterback in the NFL and is being made to study, independent study, by the way, and it's only 4 hours, is leading everyone to believe, and I think rightfully so, that he wasn't even doing the bare minimum going into this contract. It's a lot of money. He has on record before said that's not really his jam. He's not a big tape guy. He just sort of sees things that no one else sees, and that's what he's been getting by on. Totes get it. But how bad and who looks the worst in all of this?
This is one of those stories that comes along and you're like, come on, this must be a fake account, right? Like, and you see all your friends or people in our industry are retweeting and sharing and you're like, no, guys, slow down. You're going to embarrass yourself. This isn't real.
Stop.
Get to the bottom of it. And it's real. I want to know, does Coach Kingsbury have to do 4 hours of independent study a week? Because it seems like he might also be the problem in Arizona.
By the way, 4 hours, though, not even an hour a day.
No.
Like that is, I think more people spend more time in bathrooms than 4 hours a week. And that is
confirmed.
And you're a top, highly paid quarterback in the NFL. Shouldn't it already be like 3 hours of tape a day? Like, Paige, you're football queen.
It's outside of what the team is already doing, which I thought was funny. But to answer your question, I think it's most embarrassing for the team, right? Because you feel this strongly that you need to stipulate it in his official contract, and you're still paying him $230 million.
Yeah.
Those two things don't add up for me.
Well, I mean, unfortunately, I think they add up only in the sense that this is sort of where we are in sports and specifically the NFL. The alternative was you weren't going to keep him at some point. And so it's, you run the risk of now replacing him with someone of lesser talent. Obviously, he's talented. Like, nobody's arguing that. He went undefeated in high school. He's a Heisman mm-hmm. Trophy. But, like, he's got a lot on his resume. But he also has a lot of his own quotes and behaviors that lead people to think he's still very, very immature. And he still maybe doesn't quite get what the workload of being an NFL quarterback should entail. And look, I am not going to sit here and pretend that look, I was a straight A student in high school. I never picked up a book. I just was lucky. I could cram things in my brain really, really fast and then regurgitate it and boom, glide through everything. But then you get a rude awakening. And that's when you don't go to class in college and you realize, oops, probably should have gone to class. And now my GPA is a 0.7. So he's going to learn the hard way. The thing is, he just got rewarded with $230 million or whatever it is. He's also being humiliated as it's happening. It's a very bizarre up and down emotional roller coaster. And all they're asking is just do the bare minimum. Just give us, 45 minutes a day of uninterrupted studying. It's weird because on the one hand, I'm like, you can give me $230 million and then humiliate the hell out of me. I would not possibly, I couldn't care less.
Right,
but
right.
Overall, it's like, what do his teammates think? What do other teams think? Like, he has to understand that as much as he doesn't want to watch tape, every other team is watching tape of him. And so that's the difference between everything he's done already in life and where he is now. So I don't know. I hope that this serves as a motivator and not something where he kind of rebels and says, well, I'll show them I can still do this without doing any homework. And then it just backfires terribly. It's
just the fact that it's actually in the contract is what gets me. Like, this is something that could be like an understanding, right? Like,
yes.
That's crazy to me that they actually were like, no, no, we feel so strongly that we're putting in a specific clause that's never been in any NFL contract before to do homework.
Man, that sucks.
It's kind of like if you went to a wedding and you're watching the two people get married and then they did their vows and one of them was like, I vow to never cheat on you again now that the bachelor party is over. I promise I'm totally done doing that. You'd be like, whoa, dude, what's going on with these two? Like, either keep quiet about that. That's your thing, guys. Or don't like need to say it. It's just bizarre. I laughed when I saw it and I thought, like, what a curse to be so talented.
Yes.
Like, Beetle, this does tie back to you a little bit. Like, what a curse to be so talented that it gets you to, you're one of the top 10 quarterbacks in the league based on a seemingly just pure talent and being, it seems like a pretty decent guy and a good teammate. Like, there's a lot of good qualities there, but not having put in any serious, serious work. That's what holds you back from the next level. And I hate to name all the guys who people have compared him to on Twitter, and I can't stand a few of them.
Sure.
But the comparison to like a bunch of other dudes who just keep on putting in the work to win is because they probably aren't as talented. They had to do extra work. And like, it'd be better if he wasn't as talented almost.
Well, it would certainly have given him more drive to have to study to sort of keep up. But in his mind, he's already there. So what do I need to change?
Right.
I've gotten this far my way. Why are you trying to change my way? And that, I think, is probably the hardest thing for someone who's just innately talented to grasp. Yes, you are great. Yes, you've been given a monster contract, which basically in the world of sports is respect and the points on the scoreboard, right? Like, they love you, you are loved, you are great. But imagine what the next level could be if you just gave a little bit more. And so I it'll be interesting because I he has shown signs of immaturity as recently as, erasing all of his social media stuff and taking down any rep. It's a weird
world we live in. That's a 2022 strategy.
And it's that sort of that generation. And that's why my concern is because I do have a bit of that sort of like brat in me, whereas I would be like, oh, okay, you think what, 4 extra hours is going to make it happen? Watch this. And then in my mind, I'm going to be like, I'm going to take these guys to the Super Bowl. And then when the season's over, I'm going to be like, guess who didn't watch any extra tape? Mwah, mwah, your thing failed. Like, that's why I think I don't want it to go that way. Because now that it's in writing, again, goes back to what Paige said, the writing now gives them an out, which is why I am blown away that his agent allowed that to be in writing. Like that, it just shocks me. And you know, it's like putting a wait clause or something in a cut. Like you don't want any of that in writing, because now these are things that the smallest thing can actually be a fireable offense because it's in writing. I don't get it.
Do we think this is like motivation by shame, public shaming? That doesn't always work.
That's what I'm saying. Maybe, but not if he's anything like, you know, some people I know.
Yeah, I don't know how you shame a shameless person. I don't think that works.
Well, I don't
Amen,
know
sister.
That.
Right?
Can I tell you a little nugget I found out? Because I asked a few friends who know, you know, actually know more about the league than me, which is not hard to find those kinds of friends. Here's one thing I figured out. They can, in some way, enforce this. Because first, you'd be like, what is 4 hours of independent study? What the hell does that even mean, right? So
right?
They need him to watch tape on the team-issued iPad. And apparently, team-issued iPads are trackable. So,
oh, yeah.
So other guys, fellas, oh, yeah. Keep that in mind when you start using that iPad for anything other than exactly what you're supposed to use it for. I think you know what I mean.
That's already known. That's known. That's not new information.
See, like I said, I don't know very much. But
yeah. I feel like you'd lock it out.
That's very much the, like, I have two phones energy.
Well, sometimes that still gets confused.
Yeah, it's so, you know, sometimes I get confused. I, you know,
I'm not worried about that.
Oopsie daisy.
But good PSA.
I'm just trying to let the fellas out there know that use those iPads for what they're intended, guys.
Sure. Well, how are they going to keep track? Is it a matter of, like, you know, how do you know if he's watching it or if it's just sitting there on while he's doing other stuff? Is there a way?
I imagine
to do
it's
that?
Like a specific program or something. Like, you know how your phone. At least mine on Sunday is just like, hey, bitch, you were on your phone for 18 hours a day. You know, I think it's like that. Like, you were on Instagram.
But you still have to make it interactive or else there's no way of knowing whether or not he's paying attention.
You could put on game tape and then play 2K.
Yeah, I could go to sleep, let that thing run.
Well, no,
I
think you can't per the contract, Gabe, or else you're going to be fined. Or
prove that.
That's
look,
honor
you're
system.
Talking, Paige, you're smart and educated and accomplished, and I think you probably
good start.
Studied.
Good start. I don't think this comment's going
to
end
You're talking
there.
To two assholes who've never studied a second
We've
in their
gliding,
lives.
We've been gliding, bro. Gliding.
Oh, man.
Just...
That's the bad part about getting into college for sports is then you get there to a smart school and you're like, ah, shit, I have to... Do homework.
Someone we cared have done what your grades too, but... were.
Yeah, that's a great point. Only my parents did, and I can sweet talk them out of that. That was fine. But yeah, I just the Jamarcus Russell thing is what keeps coming up. Like, and that's maybe how they've built in some sort of I don't know. It's because it can't go on the honor code. Like, you don't put this thing in writing and then go on the honor code. There's going
to
be a way
they
track
this. It needs
to be
trackable.
Yeah, and if you don't know
so
about Jamarcus Russell,
the question,
it's hilarious. Google it.
Will this be on... Well, actually, sorry, quick. I mean, not to plug something else, but the Players Tribune did a great... had a great story with him in video. It was tremendous.
Jamarcus Russell?
I highly recommend that. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Recently, in the last, like, month or two. Oh, yeah, not Kyler.
Bless his heart.
I think the question is, does this become something that we see in other contracts moving forward?
Not if your agent's good. No.
Okay.
This should never be in writing. This
$230 million?
No.
That's still a win, I think.
You are giving
right?
them more reason to possibly not give you $230 million. Like, that's the thing about this. It's one thing to have an agreement. Okay, fine. Yeah, I'll do 4 extra hours of... It's another thing that now it's in writing. And if you start to, you know, misreads or you start to lose or the team starts to suck and then they're like, let's go check these hours. Let's make sure everything's in check. Da, da, da. And you don't You haven't logged it correctly or you haven't done now all of a sudden it's actually a reason for them to pull a contract.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Like, you would think this would be something, and I'm sure teams are salivating at the idea that this could be something. But if you're an agent worth a damn, no, absolutely not. We're not putting that in any contracts. So good luck.
Congrats to Kyler. I hope you study and win all the games.
It's less than an hour a day, dude. Woo! I could even do that. I could even watch NFL tape for less than, that's pushing it. But still, I would try for, I'd try it for $100 million, honestly. It's kind of where we are.
I watched about 4 hours of Stranger Things yesterday.
There
so
you go.
I can do it,
You've
too.
Already done it.
Yeah.
Your whole week's done. You don't even have to watch anymore for the rest of the week.
Nah, I'm good. I think this is a trap for Coach Cliff Kingsbury.
Oh.
Yeah. Six at best without glasses, Cliff Kingsbury. I think that they're basically trying to... establish you're in charge. This quarterback hasn't been paying any attention to you. Clearly you guys start hot and then can't win when people actually like coach against you.
Yep.
manage your team or you're out. And we, this is one new way that we can track you.
Okay, so you think he's as much on the line as Kyler is in this?
100%.
More, I could see that.
More
I think
on the line, frankly.
That seems to be a big question amongst the talking heads of radio world, is that while all of this is the attention's on Kyler Murray, and rightfully so, it's a big contract, yada, yada, a lot of them will also automatically like 1A it with, but also Cliff Kingsbury. Mm. So that's, we'll see. Mm. We'll see. But it's been a hilarious, I guess, I don't know, 24, 48 hours of listening to people talk about this. I've had quite the time. So thank you, world. And thank you, Arizona Cardinals. In fun news this weekend, the F1 tour continued, this time in Marseille, France, beautiful little town south of France. Mm. The French Grand Prix. And it was, look, it's a great race in the sense that 1 and 2 were already set. And it was Verstappen and Hamilton, a very sort of deja vu flashback to last season. Throw that away, because everything behind that 3 down was so much fun. And there was so much movement. And I actually enjoyed the race a lot. And Ferrari, I swear to God, I don't know what's wrong with them. Charles Leclerc had pole again and again, was leading. And again, his car did something weird. And he spun out and ended up in the wall, out of the race. I don't know what's going on. I don't think he knows what's going on. And I don't think the team knows what's going on. And he was very quick to accept blame. But I think most people watching don't necessarily think he had any fault in it whatsoever. We will mm-hmm. find out. His teammate Carlos Sainz started at the 19th spot because he had a penalty for doing some upgrades and changes, and made it a race. And like, boom, it was exciting. It was a good race. I was happy to watch it. It was a 6 a.m. start on the West Coast. That's interesting. That is interesting. The only time West Coast sports does not beat everything else. The only time.
I feel comfortable admitting something. Oh. I was alone in my house on Sunday morning, working through a 5-day long hangover. And
dude, is this a call for help? Like, what is this? A cry?
I've been asking for help for weeks, guys.
You still haven't been listening. My bad.
I was like, okay, today's the day. I'm watching the F1 thing. It's got to be on somewhere. I searched around. I Googled.
Bro.
And then I couldn't find the race. And then finally, it was just on. I was like, oh, I'm watching. This is strange. Oh, they're in France. It's bright out. It's late. What the hell's going on? I watched like 10 minutes of the replay on ESPN2.
Oh, yeah.
And couldn't figure out what was happening. And you got
to
get
up. Do you want
early.
Me to send you a map of the Earth with the time zones written out? Or how do you want to handle this?
That, you know, I should be able to keep track of this kind of thing. My entire family is on the continent right now. I have to keep track of the hours. No, I tried to watch.
We're in 3 time zones.
Yeah,
every time we do the show, we're in three time zones.
Three of us are literally in different time zones.
And I have told Paige yesterday, in fact, don't talk to me about Central Time. I'm not doing that math.
I know. Dude,
this
how
is
do
a,
you think
a
I
glimpse
feel?
Of working with Gabe is just being like, what? Who cares about Central? What is Pacific time every
no,
time?
No, we anybody? Go. It's first of all, if we're gonna pick the big boss, it's Eastern. It's always been Eastern.
Yeah,
if everything
right.
goes off of Eastern,
what's
Pacific,
that?
You might be second. That's fair, but Eastern's first.
I agree.
Facts.
But Beetle, you
then Central,
you...
then Mountain, right? Mountain time's fake.
Mountain time's
yeah, Mountain's
absurd.
Not a thing.
Get the hell
we don't
out
count
of here,
that.
Mountain time.
Yeah, it's like one town has it. That's it.
Beetle respects this though, Paige. Beetle.
Yeah.
Even though she made the choice to live in Central Time, realizes her friends and colleagues are not in that strange place, and I need to adapt the way I speak for them.
Mm. Yeah, well, and it's why whenever I'm setting anything up, whether it be with you guys or like anything, I always triple confirm it, because I know, all right, I'm just making sure it's 5 Eastern, 4 Central. Like, I want to make, because, you know, the time zone thing has screwed plenty of people over in the years. But when it's in Europe, it's a whole nother. Yeah, wait till they're in Asia. Then it's like,
I'm Googling at that point. I literally am like, what time is it in London right now? Like, that's what I'm. And then I do math.
Well, isn't it just 5 hours for you?
Mm-hmm. I forget. Okay, London, bad one. Pick a country. Doesn't matter.
France,
I'll be like,
6 hours
I don't know.
For you.
Sure.
Because like Europe for me is 7 hours. Guys, let's get a little more worldly, okay?
Where is this gone?
This is really embarrassing.
Who won the race? Who won?
Oh, who won the race?
Max
Verstappen.
Max.
Duh. And it was beautiful. Oh, and I'm sorry. I should have started with the lead. Matthew McConaughey was there.
Hell yeah.
Roaming around. Yeah. But the thing, the one question we haven't gotten answered yet, and it's also because I did not Google it afterwards, even though it was what I was thinking, because every other A-list celebrity that's been at one of these races, it turns out after the fact, we find out they have some sort of F1 project thing that they're working on. So I'm like, oh, and then I've already written this whole screenplay for Matthew McConaughey because I don't know if he's there for a project or just because he wants to be there, but he's in the south of France and a lot of celebrities are in the south of France right now on these yachts. And so I thought, well, it could be a coincidence or Matthew McConaughey starring in an upcoming film as he plays the father of Cooper Tucker, who is a kid who grows up in a small town in Texas, surrounded by NASCAR family and friends. But he is an outlier and he wants nothing to do with NASCAR, but he loves driving fast cars. Dad, I want to go to Europe and I want to drive one of them fast cars. And his dad's like, absolutely not. We are a NASCAR family. And Cooper Tucker rebels against everything and becomes the first American hillbilly to dominate F1. What do you think?
Yeehaw.
I'm working on titles, obviously.
You just gave the whole idea away.
Well, I've already paid.
We'll just bleep that whole thing.
Copyrighted, or what do you do with scripts? Do
maybe
you just
this.
Protect it?
I think this sort of counts as intellectual property.
You're right.
That. Actually, who plays Cooper Tucker?
That I can't decide if I want to go with like an unknown rising star or somebody already established. I feel like it could be an opportunity for an unknown to really announce their presence with authority.
You already have McConaughey.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
He's the star. Yeah. So yeah, I'm working on that in my mind.
Can I pitch you one casting idea?
Obviously.
We've talked about him on this show. I already forgot his name. That Pierre Stallion of a man from Top Gun Maverick. The new guy.
Miles Teller?
No.
Powell.
Glenn Powell?
Yes.
Glenn Powell.
Give me Glenn Powell. I'm like, Glenn?
I know all their names.
Yeah, but quick question. Is Matthew McConaughey going to look like he's his dad, or is it is too close-ish in age? I don't know. Although it's Texas, and you have him young out here, so that could work.
Yeah.
And McConaughey looks great, but he's 50-something years old at this point.
Well, how old's Glenn Powell? Isn't he like 30-something?
He's like 30.
It could work, actually.
Nah,
had him when he's about 20.
Like 25-year-old guy in Top Gun.
I'm back in. Glenn Powell looks like he's going to be Cooper Tucker. Call him Coop. Somebody get his agent on the line. We're going to make an offer today. So next race is Hungary. I leave for Budapest on Thursday. It's only going to take me 16 days to get there from here. And I can't wait. Probably going to leave after this show today. So we'll see. It'll be fun. It'll be my first one that's not Austin in person. And I'm kind of excited about it. Passport's going to get used finally. We're taking a quick break. I know there's a ton of, I've already looked ahead of the B block. It just says breaking Gabe news. We'll be back with that.
Discover the latest collections from David Yurman, as seen recently, styled on basketball stars like Jaime Jaquez, Jalen Green, D'Angelo Russell, and others. David Yurman is a celebrated American jewelry company inspired by the beauty of art, architecture, and the natural world. The story of David Yurman begins in New York City with David, a sculptor, and his wife, Sybil, a painter and ceramicist. When the artists began collaborating, their goal was to simply make beautiful designed objects to wear. Over 40 years later, the Yurmans and their son, Evan, continue to redefine American luxury jewelry with timeless, modern collections for women and men defined by inspiration, innovation, consummate craftsmanship, and Cable, the brand's artistic signature. David Yurman's collections are available on davidyurman.com.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
All right, we're back with what else did we miss? And Gabe, you're up, buddy. Take it away.
So just before we started recording, we were, having a little small talk. Jerome, our favorite person on the team, was telling us about the soccer team in Toronto that he pays close attention to. And my brain started to sort of fade down that talk. Canadian soccer, not really my thing. So I went to see what was happening in the NFL, and I found the most important story of the day.
Okay.
The Green Bay Packers have tweeted a video that I am going, it's in the rundown. I'd like you all to watch it with me. This is franchise quarterback Aaron Rodgers arriving at camp dressed as Cameron Poe of Con Air, and that it is sensational. I can't
what
even
is
say
happening?
The word. It's that good. Aaron Rodgers dressed as Cameron Poe from Con Air. I'm not even Googling to double check his name. That's Nicolas Cage's character. He looks awesome. This is becoming a weird thing for Aaron Rodgers. Okay. He did a 2-year long bit to dress up as John Wick for Halloween.
That's true.
Now
yes.
he's rolling up to camp as Nicolas Cage in Con Air.
I mean, well, first of all, one of the greatest films of all time, obviously, but what is the end game here? Is there is a movie in the works? Are these his?
I think you're overthinking it.
It's just fun and games. Well, where I want to be in the room when he and whoever, his friends or a girlfriend, whoever, when they come up with these things, like, hey, guess what I'm going to do on Tuesday? Like, okay.
You think he talks to other people about this? No way.
Probably not. Well, maybe one person.
He meditates on it for 6 hours and then.
Then he stares at his tattoo. The tattoo tells him what to do. And then he does it.
Con Air. I saw Con Air at too young of an age, just FYI. It was my first R-rated movie.
What?
I wasn't even trying to be like, I'm young. I was like 9. It was extremely inappropriate.
What?
At a sleepover.
Yeah. The whole Buscemi storyline would be very traumatizing.
We snuck the movie down. We were really excited to watch a rated R movie, and I didn't sleep for weeks.
Really? You must have been a wiener as a child. Good Lord.
I still am.
Grow up.
No.
That's awesome. That's mad points.
Wow.
It's not even a game day. It's like random Tuesday in July.
Camp. It's reporting to camp.
I know, but like
a camp.
I want these. Walk. I want this every Sunday. I want that every Sunday. Please.
Maybe. Okay. Do we think that's. No.
What? Go ahead. Say it, Paige. You're thinking something sneaky.
Mm-hmm. No, not sneaky. I was just like, does this become a thing that he does like every pregame?
I hope
it's a different character.
Yeah. That's the hope and dream and wish. That's what we want. Mm-hmm. And he can. He's earned it. Like if people like Kyler Murray can't do that. Okay. He haven't earned it yet. But Aaron Rodgers can.
Yeah. That's a good call.
Although some people say Aaron Rodgers should have more Super Bowl wins by now. But, you know, can't argue that.
If the Packers are like, hey, Aaron, have you studied game tape? He's like, yes, I've done a lot of independent study this week. I rewatched Con Air twice and it was great. It still holds up.
It still holds up. For sure it still holds up. That's awesome. Gabe, well done, sir.
Wow.
Okay, I'm glad you showed us that.
I had some good breaking news and I contributed. All right.
Yeah, I like it. What else
did we miss, Paige?
Oh, I don't. How do I go after that?
You really can't.
Good Lord.
Just call it a day.
All right. Well, I enjoyed this from over the weekend, which was that. So Madison Bumgarner, I think we've talked about him before. He's kind of a troll of a human, but he called out Victor Robles. He called him a clown for what he thought was admiring his home run that he hit off of him. The Diamondbacks, by the way, won the game, I think like 7-2 or 8-2 or something. But I love this because Victor responded via his interpreter Saturday night after the game, and the comments were pretty tame about just like, yeah, man, if you don't want to have home runs hit off you, then pitch better, essentially.
Thank you.
But then I want your take on this, Beads. He wore a clown nose to Sunday's game. So on the petty joy scale, 1 to 10, 1 being bad, 10 being incredible, where does this rank?
No, it's perfect. Even though they lost the game, he lost the game. He still came in with like a little bit of fire.
Yes.
No, I love it. Yeah. Because it is such a stupid, whiny baby thing to say. Don't give up a home run and then a dude won't admire it. It is just that simple. And so I also think as a pitcher, as a competitive person, I would never want to give my opponent any sort of light. So cool, you hit a home run. Don't care. It's happened before. It'll happen again. We still won, blah, blah. It's just weird to call him a clown. I would argue that he's the clown. But yeah, I think wearing a red clown nose is chefs, especially in baseball where my God, having too much fun, guys. Take it back a couple notches. That's awesome. Now I'm a fan. I mean, I say I'm a fan. I'll never watch, but a fan.
No.
He should wear the clown nose up to the plate next time he faces him.
I mean, is there a rule against it? I bet it's not actually written out. I bet you could get away with it.
No, I think there's rules against like excess whatever.
Bullshit. They wear 20, 20 pound
they
chains.
They don't want to have fun.
I don't know. I say take the necklaces off, add the clown noses.
Or clown paint. You could. I don't think they could stop you from wearing clown paint.
Oh, that's funny.
Because you
that's
could say funny. It's like zinc for the sun.
All right.
Well, you want me to have cancer? Like, it's just perfect.
I take skincare very seriously.
Yep, fixed it. You're welcome, baseball.
Oh, baseball. I hope you're listening.
I hope you're listening, baseball. Oh, God, what else? What
All right, else? I'm going to bring this one up. I got to just tell you, I'm terrified of this topic, but here goes. For a lot of reasons, that mostly serious, not serious, I can't tell. So basically, your favorite institution, at least at one time, Beatle, the WWE, is going through some big changes. Yeah, Vince McMahon says he's retiring. Quote, as I approach 77 years old, I feel it's time for me to retire as chairman and CEO of WWE. But obviously, I think those of us who pay attention know that there have been some pretty serious allegations about the way he handled himself over the years. I don't know what's true and what isn't, but I know that this was not just one day he decided to step down. So Triple H is coming back into the fold. He'll be handling a whole bunch of stuff. Stephanie McMahon has a bigger role. Nick Khan, who's one of the big names behind the scenes, will have a big role. Beatle, what do you think all this means for WWE?
Absolutely nothing.
Okay.
Nothing. It's, you know, the beauty of being, for all intents and purposes, a family-owned business is that, okay, I'm going to step down. He's still the majority shareholder. The company, WWE, the organization, is synonymous with the McMahon name and will be for the foreseeable future. So it means nothing. Now, and I get it. There's a lot of legal going on behind the scenes. And full disclosure, Nick Khan was my agent for many years, the best years, honestly. And this. But it's crazy. And he left representing schmucks like me and went to WWE and now is going to be in charge of the whole thing. So that's kind of cool. But I'm happy that Stephanie will have a larger role. I always root for that. I think she's like a cool, badass woman. But it's a tough pill to swallow as women because there have been a lot of stories that have come out. Very large numbers in the millions and millions of dollars that have been paid out in settlements that have been reported. So obviously, there's been a track record and a pattern of this sort of behavior. Now, is any of it surprising? No, none of it's surprising. And if you follow wrestling at all in any shape or form, big, small, whatever, there's a lot of dirt that goes on behind the scenes. It's just, you know, I was about to say it's not like running a church, but then I realized that's actually worse. But yeah, it is. It's kind of a dirty business. He's still going to be very much a part of it, just not the front forward facing forward. How do you say that? Good Lord, Michelle, I need some ginkgo biloba, but it's nothing. It changes nothing. The company goes on. They've had scandals. They've had tons of scandals over the years. Yeah. This is just another one.
But it's a little, this is different than some of the other times stuff happens there where like they can't write this into a plot. Like it's not like Vince is going to show up and be a heel now. Like he's done being a face at all is what you assume, right?
Oh, see, that's the one thing I have learned in being a WWE fan is that nothing is impossible. And look, even when some of these stories started to break a few weeks ago, several weeks ago now, he came out like he was at an event and came out and they sort of treated it like, you know, here comes Vince McMahon, da da da. And if you follow any of the news, you're like, this is awkward, but fans don't care. And because there's such a blurry line between reality and stories in the WWE, I will never say never. I would not be shocked if at some point we see him somewhere in the ring, which is partly why WWE keeps going. You just don't know. Shout out Nick Khan.
All right. Well, you didn't miss that story, obviously. You seem plugged in there.
No, I've only just been following it because I was curious to see you know, how they would handle it. But then again, majority shareholder. He'll be fine. Print that money.
I don't have a good segue, so I'm gonna just dive into this one.
Page.
I know. I think I used them all up last week with Greg.
Fair.
Okay, over the weekend at the Moscow Open, I know you were following that, which is a chess tournament. Oh. A robot was playing a young boy, and the kid made a move too early. The robot did not like that and reached across and broke the kid's finger. So, question from Quincy.
Oh, boy.
Our producer. He says, should they put the robot down like they did poor Harambe?
First of all, Never forget Harambe. Start there. We made you! Maximum Overdrive reference. You better know what that's from. And thirdly, no. Kids should have not gone to her.
Those are the rules, man.
There's protocol to that damn game. You better follow it. That he broke his finger. First of all, that tells me that the robot is now thinking on its own, which is step number 400 in them taking over. So this is not good for the rest of us, by the way. I hope everyone realizes that. It did it on its own. It's done doing what it was programmed to do. It's thinking for itself now. We're screwed. Holy shit.
Yeah, I haven't been watching, but this is literally the plot of Westworld. Is this. Like, guys, there's nothing funny about this. Today it was a seven-year-old's finger. Like, it's gonna be a grown-up's neck real soon.
First of all, don't take it from Westworld. Maximum Overdrive did this before that. Okay. That's when the robots started taking over. When the machines started taking over.
There was actually a movie. Terminator.
No, Maximum Overdrive is before Terminator.
Really?
I'll
bet you a dollar.
I'm looking
Google
it up.
Google box it.
Is Maximum Overdrive a movie that I should watch?
It's a Stephen King movie, so if you like awesomeness, yeah, you probably should.
Wow, that
Starring
was a genuine
Emilio
question.
Estes, an AC/DC soundtrack.
Yes or no answer would have been fine.
It's one of my favorite movies from the 80s.
Okay.
From 1986, specifically.
Okay, and Terminator?
And when was the Terminator, Beetle?
I don't know.
1984.
Damn it! Oh,
yes!
Wait a second. Wait a minute. Ding. Because Maximum Overdrive is actually based on another movie that was made before it that is in the 70s.
Wasn't prepared for that.
A lot of people don't know that because this was the one that got all the pug. But it's based on Trucks, which is a story by Stephen King, which I think is a much worse name than Maximum Overdrive.
Trucks?
Yes. Yep, Trucks. But bottom line is, I've been waiting for this day for basically since I was born. It's coming. So count your days, enjoy your time with your loved ones, because it's probably short-lived.
Well, speaking of things being short-lived, Gabe,
there you go.
Do you have this other one?
Yes, it was announced yesterday. This is tragic, honestly. That Klondike is discontinuing the Choco Taco.
The hell's a Choco Taco?
Apparently, the audience would prefer other forms of Klondike products over the Choco Taco. I don't know who the hell they asked to get that answer.
I don't even know what a Choco Taco is.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm so upset.
We
right
might
now
need to stop down and just, this is, it's fine when we Google things on the fly, like Maximum Overdrive. To not know what a Choco Taco is credibility damaging beyond what we should
have. Well, this is how much I didn't know what it was. I accidentally Googled Taco Choco. So apparently
really?
I had no idea. I mean, it's adorable. It's literally a taco with ice cream with chocolate and nuts on it. It's cute. So why would you get rid of that? It's adorable. It looks
it's
fun
adorable
and compact.
It's the best ice cream thing you can buy in a freezer.
Better than an ice cream sandwich? I don't think so.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Yeah, it's an ice cream sandwich with the fun of a taco.
So let me ask you this. I'm not affected by this because I didn't know, but you two are clearly having a time. So how do you both feel about it?
Upset, sad, okay. Distraught, despairing.
I would say let down. I think that this
hopeless.
Is... Yeah, this is up there with the robot takeover. Like, who's making these decisions? Who thought that
Men.
This was okay?
I demand answers.
You should demand. You know what, though? Or you could silver lining this bad boy and realize that now there's an opportunity for a young, hungry group of people to come out with their own company that makes the Taco Choco.
Maybe that's you.
Is that my second great idea in one podcast?
Yeah, I think so.
It's embarrassing.
Can we work Choco Choco into the Cooper Chucker movie?
It's probably going to be one of our main sponsors.
I bet you that Taco Chocos are what Cooper Tucker eats when he wins races. That's like his go-to signature.
That's his go-to. And when all of the big businesses come a-calling because they want to pay him, he's like, no, I'm sticking with Taco Chaco because I've been with Taco Chaco since the beginning.
Because his dad gave him one after he won his first race at age 5.
Exactly. Exactly. And think about F1 sponsors. These are like the highest of the Heidi, the hoity-toities, the Richard Mille watch companies of the world. So sure. Yeah, for him to turn that kind of stuff down for the Taco Chaco just tells you what kind of guy Cooper Tucker really is.
I love this guy the more I hear about him.
I'm going to get on this. I'm going to write it this weekend. On the plane.
This weekend?
On the plane. I'm going to write it on the plane. When my Xanax kicks in, the beauty starts coming out. Well, I am sorry to both of you guys for your losses, and I really hope you're able to find some solace and some peace somewhere in that. Okay, but we're going to get on our stories. We're going to get it fixed, and we're going to take a break because I see words wrapping things up when we come back.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard it right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask me. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Okay, you guys, we're going to wrap it up now. The What Did I Miss podcast. We have voicemails, Paige?
We do. Well, texts, actually.
Oh, texts. I even like that.
Okay, so we have a few texts from everyone. And just as a reminder, you can text this number, 631-397-0403. We love going through all the submissions and picking some out. So here are today's. This first one says, even before the Netflix show, I've been a huge Formula One fan and motorsports fan. Parentheses, except for NASCAR. Mm-hmm. My question for you guys is, why are you not watching Indy racing as well? It has similar street races and courses like Formula One, but also has oval racing where they go 3 and 4 wide at 200 miles per hour, and has former Formula One drivers and some of the teams as well. I think it's just as exciting. Wanted to get your opinion.
That is fair. And I have heard this argument before, and I'm aware of some of the F1 drivers. There's also a kid named Colton Herta. I hope I'm saying his last name right, but he's an American kid, the youngest IndyCar winner, and the rumored replacement of Daniel Ricciardo at McLaren at some point, which is obviously a big talk of the town right now because people love Daniel Ricciardo, and I don't think they want to see him keep jumping ship like Kevin Durant. So it's like, but then again, there is a craving for an American in the Formula One. So yeah, I have heard this. And I think my answer is just simply, I'm so new to Formula One that I haven't really even thought about venturing out. It's like, I'm still trying to grasp all of this and like immerse myself in that. But I don't have anything against IndyCar for sure. And don't, you know, NASCAR is where Cooper Tucker came from. So I can't hate on that either at this point.
Mm.
Are we sure that text didn't come from Cooper Tucker?
That's the call, honestly, it crossed my mind.
Inside the house.
It did, yeah, it crossed my mind. Because he probably was thinking he's got to go Indy first to Formula One, but I think his heart's going to get him to Formula One before anything else. I really do.
If your name is Cooper Tucker and you're listening, please text us. Okay, thanks.
Can I just hold on, sorry, real quick, Paige, can I just admit something?
Yeah.
I don't know if Beetle made that name up or that is a real person.
Oh, I'm sure it's a real person.
So,
what do you mean?
So
like an actual famous person already?
So your whole script idea is based on a fictional person named Cooper Tucker, who Matthew McConaughey would be the father of in the movie.
Correct.
There's no real Cooper Tucker anywhere on this planet.
Correct.
No, a Cooper Tucker exists.
No, I know. Lots of lacrosse teams have a guy named
his
Cooper
sister's
Tucker.
Name is like Kaylee with like E's in weird places and stuff. Yeah.
Kaylee Lee. And Matthew McConaughey's character's name, his real name is Richard, but they've been calling him Rooster since he was 4 years old.
Okay.
So it's like Rooster and Cooper Tucker.
Sure.
Flying business class to Monaco. Boom. There's your opening scene. Flashbacks.
Can't
after
wait to
that.
Read it next week when you get back.
Okay.
We'll have a session.
This is a text. Yes. I've been a fan of Beads for a while.
Damn.
I agree with her a lot of the time, but sometimes I'm just taken aback from what her takes are.
Fair.
I think the best part about this show is how it makes Gabe and Paige react. Example, Sinatra. Thank you. Mm-hmm. I was so upset. Wait, what's this? I was so upset with Gabe as he revealed his love for Tim Tebow. Dude, seriously? Who wrote this stupid text?
Not me.
Tebow was an awful NFL quarterback. He was given so many chances that he did not earn Mets,
That's
Jags.
Fair.
What? This was the same dude who said college football players should not be paid and do it, quote, for the love of the game.
He did
said
say that.
The privileged white boy. What?
He said
that. Defend yourself. If you're a Gators fan, fine. But beyond that, that's a no for me, homie. All right. Wait.
Go ahead, Gabe.
I don't have to defend anything here.
Yeah.
And
you do.
I know I'm not a Gators fan. I'm a Tim Tebow fan.
But what did he say that was wrong in there?
Well, he earned the chances. He didn't
All of
succeed.
Them? All of them.
Well, you know what? That's the way life works. You build up good karma, people give you the benefit of the doubt, right?
I don't think that's how life works at all. I think there are a lot of people with shitty karma who are getting more chances than anyone else, quite frankly.
Well, that is also true. But don't you think Tim Tebow got the chance to show up at some of these camps and try to prove himself athletically because he was considered the greatest college football player of all time? So people said maybe he could kind of do it again. We just put him in the right situation. Don't you think
so
that
he's
that's
like,
reasonable?
So what's the difference between him and Al Bundy? I'll tell you. Al Bundy was never given all these chances. That's the problem. But they were both highly successful at what they did, and they peaked early.
Okay, but would I have liked to see Al Bundy try to play right field for the Mets minor league team? Yes, I would have.
Yeah, I would have loved it. Probably would have changed my whole outlook on baseball, honestly. I think he's right in the sense that Tim Tebow probably got a handful more chances than anyone else. And that's fine, but he did.
Somebody show me any evidence that Tim Tebow isn't a great human who does great things for all kinds of people. Somebody show me that.
I have heard this exact Tebow spiel. Gabe and I have worked together for like 2-3 years now, let's call it. I would say over under 500 times.
Oh my gosh. I hope you get a raise every time you have to hear it. That's awful.
Well, thank you. I'll use this in my next...
All right. Well, to my homie who texted that, no, I'm not apologizing for this. I appreciate you listening. We can debate this offline one day, but
no,
I will say
it did come from an LA number.
It really did. It could be anyone. And when you know, probably it's coming from inside the house. I love it. Next.
Paige has to go. Apparently, for the first time ever, it's not her internet that's the problem. It's managing her calendar. Yeah. So she has to go. So I'm going to read you this last text, Beetle.
Okay.
Here's our texter. Says, back in 1997, I was in the middle of a Leonardo DiCaprio boycott.
Damn.
Because I hated him in Romeo and Juliet. That's an interesting start.
That is.
As a result, I never saw Titanic. I've never felt more validated in that decision than by hearing Michelle blast Titanic on the podcast. That said, a tip for Gabe. Why do I keep getting dragged on these? From one dad to another, when my kids aren't listening at bedtime, nothing gets them put on their PJs faster than when I use my phone to play My Heart Will Go On at them. Huh. Okay.
Torture.
Very good. Elliot. That's our friend Elliot.
Oh, yeah.
Chiming in. So
I know Elliot. Hi, Elliot.
Responses to Elliot and the Titanic take.
It's just always nice to, you know, look, it wouldn't change my opinion if people disagree with me, but it's also nice to hear it being validated. When you're right and people get that, it's always good. It's always good to see other people getting it because I have to deal with you and Paige all the time who don't get it. And so shout out Elliot for understanding what Titanic was all about. Not even worth seeing for Elliot. And that says something.
Yeah, he tweeted something similar. I didn't realize it was the same person. I am kind of confused by the idea of playing My Heart Will Go On to my kids, but never watching Titanic. I can't see how that would happen. But.
Well, you can still love Celine Dion. You don't have to have necessarily seen the movie. So,
do you remember this? Was it Sherry O'Terry, the SNL sketch?
I think so.
Where it's amazing. I sing your song better than you.
That's scary, Jerome.
Right now, Jerome, for listeners, is chiming in. His voice is not being recorded to tell us it was Anna Gasteyer, not Sherry O'Terry. Thank you, Jerome.
Thank you, Jerome.
We have to assume Anna Gasteyer is Canadian, and that's why he knew that.
Ooh, that's a good call. And even if she's not, she is now. And that's kind of how that works. So Yes, thank you guys all for sending in some messages. Please keep doing it. Please keep tweeting and texting Gabe about Tim Tebow. That will give me life. Tim Tebow. It will give me life and breath. And so I appreciate it. That's going to do it. This is this episode of What Did I Miss? And Paige already mentioned it. 631-397-0403. Call, text, send a picture, whatever. And for Gabe and for Paige and for Jerome, kind of, we bid you adieu.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.